Air is, no kidding, awful out there. John Baxter, our senior producer, was just giving me some numbers just a few moments ago and says the air quality index this morning is 438 in Eugene, Springfield. Cottage Grove, 484. That's well into the hazardous range. So I don't see any place in our region where it's actually as good as unhealthy for sensitive groups. Everything is at least in the unhealthy range, if not into the very unhealthy or the hazardous. The only place, let's see, what is that? Radar Hill on the Oregon coast. Well, we're not talking to them today, but in the inland valleys, the air is just awful. So do the best you can to get yourself separated from the smoke and try to make it a day in which you can breathe just a little bit. The weather forecasters tell us that onshore breezes will begin clearing out the smoke by the beginning of next week at the latest. The smoke is far from the only problem. Thousands of people are still out of their homes around the region, and a smaller number, we don't have an exact figure yet, do not have homes to go back to. We have some guests lined up to talk about aspects of firefighting and relief efforts, but again, we want to hear from you. What have you seen? What is your impression of what you have seen? Do you know of people who need help, or are you in a position to offer help? We take all kinds of calls here, just to talk about the fires in general and the mood in the community. I know there's a lot of frustration reflected in at least one email that I see today about the fact that people just don't feel like they can get good, reliable information. The fragmentation of the media market has kind of resulted in people looking in a bunch of different directions at once, from social media to old broadcast media to online stuff. It's all in a mix there. And frankly, the information getting to us is sketchy at times. As an example, I just was able to track down within the last couple of minutes about where the figure of 500,000 people evacuated in Oregon came from, because it's getting screamed in headlines across the world. The BBC.com, 500,000 people flee unprecedented Oregon fires. Well, that came from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management in a posting yesterday. So they claim 500,000 Oregonians have been evacuated, and the number continues to grow. The governor, not long after the time of that release, or about the time of that release, said there are about 80,000 people who have evacuated. The broadcast services in the Portland area are using somewhat lower figures. The point is, a lot of people are evacuated. There's not enough room for them at shelters, it would appear, and so a lot of people are scrambling to find answers for themselves in the short term and to get some help in the long term as well. And I believe we have a question about that. They're going to go straight to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, I think you answered my question. Now I have another one.
Okay.
Do you know the specific air quality for Reading area? Because I bicycle, and I don't have any way of driving, and I don't want to drive even if I could.
Yeah.
But,
I don't have a reading for Reading itself, Mark, but Anderson, just to the south, is in the unhealthy zone. That's up at, it's in the red zone, so that's unhealthy for Anderson. And nothing on any side of Reading is better than unhealthy, so that's about where you stand. And probably not a great day to go biking.
Well, I don't bike out of for recreation. I do it out of necessity, so. At any rate, thank you.
All right, thanks, Mark. Good to hear from you. 838-3760 is our phone number, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, and jx@jeffnet.org for emails. And let's take a call from Laura at Siskiyou School in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Great, thank you.
So, well, what's up with Siskiyou School? What are you doing this week?
So, well, we tried to start school this week, but we are actually doing a wildfire relief effort here on our campus. Starting on Wednesday evening, we started accepting donations in what we thought was going to be a really kind of a small scale, kind of supporting different organizations. We turned into a pretty big hub. A group of people at Flipside Studios had been getting lots of donations, and they had about 25 to 30 trucks on their way to the expo in Central Point. They got diverted because of the fire that erupted there, and we opened up our doors and we accepted all of their items. So in a matter of minutes, we grabbed a bunch of tables and set up, and we're here today from 9 to 5 offering pickup for anyone who needs toiletries, food, water, clothing, household items. We have it all. We have people here already today, and just doing our best to support our community when and how we can.
Okay, and tell people how to find you at Siskiyou School, 9 a.m. to 5 today.
Yep. So we are in Ashland, Oregon. We're at 631 Clay Street, and we're the south part of Ashland, so we're easy to get to, relatively easy, I guess. And we're here. We've got lots of volunteers to help, and we just really wanted to. We've been sending it a lot on social media, but since a lot of people don't have access to internet, we really wanted to come on the radio and see if we can reach even more people.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because I know that there is internet out in the Ashland area. People are concerned about that. So Cisco School in Ashland accepting donations 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. today, and also obviously making them available for people as well. These are household goods, primarily in clothing, right?
Yeah, actually, we're not accepting anymore. Okay. We have a ton. We are just doing pickups. So anyone who needs items, they can please just come here, gather. We sent a bunch of our staff and alumni and volunteers yesterday into Medford to drop off items at the Family Nurturing Center, the Expo, Goodwill, Central Point in Medford. So we just have an ongoing operation here where as we receive a lot of items, we're just taking them. And currently we're packed full. And, you know, if anything changes, we'll definitely let the community know. But right now we just really want to offer our space as a place for people to come, go through, find clothing. We have socks, we have underwear. We've got, you know, just anything and everything that I feel like people can at least have something to hold on to for right now.
Okay. Way to turn on a dime there and be able to change what your plan was. And
You know, that's what we do, right? I looked at our hall here and we had thousands of bags, and I sat for a minute and thought, wow, what are we going to do? And then you just start calling people. And right now, in Ashland, you know, other than the smoke, we're just here. We want to help. And so we gathered a bunch of people, and it has been profound to see the amount of community coming together and, you know, working with other organizations like the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Flipside and Inconceivable Fitness, the Ashland School Foundation. We have all been in communication just really to see what we can all do. And this is one of those moments that I've been here for 10 years now to really watch this community rise in such an amazing and profound way to help.
All right. So if you need stuff, Siskiyou School open until from 9 o'clock this morning until 5 this evening. Household goods and clothing available at the school at 631 Clay Street in Ashland. Laura, thank you so much for doing this, and thank you so much for communicating it with us. We'll make sure this goes on the information that we got collected for today's broadcast of The Exchange.
Great. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We're looking for information from you, giving information to you. I have a pile of stuff here about the fires and evacuations going on. And let me give some numbers, because we haven't given the hard numbers yet. We got our first set yesterday about the Alameda Drive fire, which began in Ashland. The wind pushed it through Talent and Phoenix into Medford and into North Medford, ultimately, with a lot of loss of homes in Phoenix and Talent. The figure yesterday, the first one we got, was pegged at 600 homes lost and 100 businesses lost. I'm going to just say out loud, it seems low to me, given the devastation I've seen in every mobile home park, and that includes some of the aerial footage that the county put out yesterday. That seems like 600 might be on the low side, but we'll find out as further investigation goes on and as it goes safer to get into these places. Our reporting staff fanned out yesterday, and April Ehrlich, who lives in Talent, mentioned that she got to see her house yesterday. She went on a bike trip we'll talk about later in the show today. But she said you could smell natural gas in the area, and there are down power lines and all sorts of hazards out there. So these are the reasons that they're asking us not to go back into these areas. Even if your home is intact, give it time. Plus, there are boil water orders for the places where the water has been restored. Power has not been restored to a lot of these places. The city manager in Talent says that restoring power could take 7 days or more. And that was yesterday's release. And then when water comes back again, probably boil it for about 5 minutes before you use it, just to make sure that anything that got into the pipes when things were broken and not in good operating shape, get out of there. So a couple of caveats for people who are returning to their homes. Shelter is still kind of a hodgepodge around the region, with a number of churches having flung their doors open, in addition to the Expo Park in Jackson County, and then the Expo Park in Josephine County as well. And we also did talk to the folks at the fairgrounds in Eureka yesterday, taking some people, and I need to dig up information on the fire burning there as well. Let me give you one good resource if you do have online service. And I know some people are gritting their teeth like, I don't. That's why I'm listening to you. But I understand that. But Oregon, if you have access, the state of Oregon's new site at wildfire.oregon.gov puts a bunch of good things into one place. And one that's really proving helpful to me is one called State of Oregon Fires and Hotspots Dashboard. It lets you see where the fires are, the outlines of them, and where the evacuations are relative to those. So that's a really helpful map. And again, you get to it by going to wildfire.oregon.gov. Go down to the third heading under Wildfire Resources and look for Fires and Hotspots Map. Click on that and you'll look at what I'm looking at, which shows, for example, the outlines of the fires in eastern Douglas County, including that new or relatively new fire, the Thielson Fire, burning relatively close to the northeast side of Diamond Lake, which is where the resort is, and that was evacuated yesterday too. We had originally planned an interview today with somebody from the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services because, believe it or not, September is National Preparedness Month. We decided to keep the interview, the scheduled interview with Brad Hilliard from the Oregon Department of Consumer and Business Services, and he joins us by phone now. Hi, Brad.
For having me.
It's good to have you here, although not under these circumstances, but this is not so much a thing that'll help people right now because we're talking about things like what to do in advance of a disaster, but are there some triage things you can help us with right here now, things that people should be doing in terms of contacting insurance agents and documenting their losses, all that stuff?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. First thing I want to maybe share today is that if you are in those level three evacuation areas, mm-hmm. if you have been evacuated, yes, go ahead when you are settled and when you have a chance to maybe take a little bit of a breath, contact your insurance company and let them know that you have evacuated. This is also be a good time to kind of find out more about your insurance coverages. Because one of the things that that a lot of insurance policies will provide, if you're a part of a mandatory evacuation, is that they will help cover some of those additional living expenses you have. So if you are, so your expenses for lodging, some of your food, even pet boarding are things that can be covered by your insurance company if you're part of a mandatory evacuation. So you'll want to contact your insurance company, find out some information about how they're covering that, what they're doing to get prepared to handle claims in the area, and just find out what type of coverages you have. So if you're in that mandatory evacuation, save all of those receipts right now.
Everything that you're doing, every expense you're running up outside of your own home.
Yes, save those receipts because a time will come when you'll be able to work with your insurance company and get some reimbursement for some of those expenses. So if you're in that level three, you evacuated, you are away from your home right now, save those receipts, contact your insurance company.
Okay.
If you are in those, if you're in that level two, that level one area, mm-hmm. or I'm in Salem. So if you're like me here in Salem and you're not in an evacuation area, but it's close to you and there's a lot of smoke and things in the area, there's a few things you can do to get ready to evacuate if you need to. One of the best things you can do as you're gathering up your belongings and things that you want to take with you is to get your phone or get a camera and go through each room in your home and take photos or video. Get photos or video of what's on your walls. Take a look at what's in drawers, take pictures of what's inside your closets, and don't forget your storage areas, like your sheds, your garage, your attics. And this serves a couple of purposes. First is this documents what you have. This documents what you own in case the worst happens and you do lose everything. You have documentation to show your insurance company, this is what I had, this is what it looked like before the fire came.
Okay.
The other thing is that, the other thing is that your insurance company is going to ask you to make a list of all of your damaged items. And if you have these photos, it is going to save you so much time and stress and worry trying to recall everything that you own. That's one of the most difficult tasks in trying to recover is just because it's labor intensive to have to lift things out like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got those pictures, you can, it will help you remember, just if you're sitting in a room right now and looking around at what's in the room, if you closed your eyes and tried to list all those things, how difficult would that be? So
yeah.
Get those photos and have that with your go kit. The other thing to collect is all of your personal and financial documents that you can. So make sure with your go kit you've got passport, driver's license, birth certificates, social security cards, financial records, bank accounts, investment accounts, legal documents that need to go with you. Make sure you have all those collected as well as you're getting ready to head out and evacuate. So,
all right. So
a couple of things that will help. Yeah.
So do you need photos and a list, or are the photos or video enough?
For right now, the photos and video are the most important thing for you to have. If you lose everything, your insurance company is going to ask you to make a list, or if your home is partially damaged, mm-hmm. they're going to ask you to make a list. So you can take some time to work on that. You don't have to do that right away. But if you have all those photos, then you've got documentation to help you make that list, because your insurance company is going to ask for not only the item, but they're also going to ask about how old it is and what it's going to cost you to replace it. So mm-hmm. you have to do a little research and work to work through some of that stuff. But main thing is, if you have those, photos, that's going to really help you put that list together.
Now, I noticed one of the other recommendations from the Oregon DCBS, Department of Consumer and Business Services, is to also check your coverage. And so how do you know, particularly as real estate prices and construction costs, for that matter, keep rising, if your house is well covered enough?
Yeah. Talk to your insurance company about that and find out what your policy limits are. Most insurance policies have like a clause in them that will raise your insurance coverage up as construction prices and things go up, just as kind of an inflation factor in your insurance policy. But talk to them about that, because your insurance is going to cover what it costs to rebuild the home or replace the property. So it's a little different from what the actual value of the home is. You know, mm-hmm. if you have a $300,000 home, but it takes $220,000 to rebuild it, then your insurance company is going to pay you the $220,000 as you work towards rebuilding the home.
Do most insurance policies, Brad, include the cost of cleaning up the site from a house that burned down?
Yes, most of your policies are going to include coverage to remove debris and rebuild.
Mm-hmm. I got a call from somebody yesterday who has had to rebuild a couple times after fires at some of the properties he owns. But he was saying that if nobody's available to come out and clean up, you can do the cleanup yourself and show the insurance company with your time and with photos that you did the work. Now, I mm-hmm. caution people before you start this, make sure there's no hazmat issues with your house first.
Yes, always make safety a top priority. If you're going to do any type of cleanup or temporary repairs, also check with your insurance company and let them know that you're going to do that. Don't start any repairs until your insurance company gives you the okay to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to clean up debris and you're going to do things to protect your property from further damage, log how much time you're spending doing it, save receipts for your materials, take photos of what it looked like before and what it looks like after you did it. And just document that whole process, because they will, your insurance company will reimburse you for that work that you do.
Okay, a bunch of things to think about for folks who have not been burned out of their homes, about preparing for a crisis like a lot of people are experiencing around the region right now. Brad Hilliard is a spokesperson for the Department of Consumer and Business Services in the state of Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thanks for mentioning the wildfire.oregon.gov website. Our insurance resources from the department are on that site as well. You can also get go straight to our page by visiting dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow. And then finally, you talked about not having internet access. If you don't have internet access right now and need to talk to somebody, we do have a team of advocates that are available to help with your insurance questions and concerns. And you can reach them toll free. That's 888-877-4894.
888-877-4894.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And they'll help you with your insurance questions. Be sure to call your insurance company, and you want to check with them first, because that will give you the most precise information that you need from them. But if you still have issues, questions, or concerns, give us a call, and we can certainly help you out.
Okay, Brad, thanks again for a wealth of details on what to do before a disaster strikes, and then also if it has, how to go about things now too. Brad, thanks again so much.
My pleasure. Stay safe. Thank you.
All right. Jefferson Exchange on JPR, 800-838-3760 by phone, emails, jx@jeffnet.org. We're going to have to take a break in the middle of this, but I want to welcome Terry Stewart from Ashland CERT, Community Emergency Response Team, with some details about Rogue Valley Recovers. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you.
So tell us about Rogue Valley Recovers. This looks like a bit of a place for people to converge with both needs and ways to fill those needs.
That's correct. The Rogue Valley Recovers is essentially a hub of information for folks who either have a need and are looking to get assistance, or have supplies and they're willing to provide or gift those supplies out. And then it also has another feature for folks who want to volunteer and connect with people who might be able to provide that volunteer service. So we kind of consider it our one-stop shop for Jackson County, and we're really hoping that folks can try to coordinate efforts utilizing the Recovers Hub, because that will help others. You know, we can kind of keep sending folks there, and that way the needs are getting filled with a little more accuracy quickly.
So it's roguevalley.recovers.org?
It's actually roguevalley.recovers.org. So we call it Rogue Valley Preparedness and Recovery Hub.
Mm-hmm.
It was an essential tool, or has been an essential tool, utilized for COVID-19 response. It's sort of through the United Way and other partner agencies in the Valley.
Terry, hold on just a second. I just realized our break's about to fire, so we'll come back and continue this in about a minute five here on the Jefferson Exchange. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're able to listen, given the great disruption in our region for the last few days with the wind-driven wildfires. The wind is gone for most of us. Now the smoke has settled in, and we're beginning to assess the damage. The Alameda Drive fire, which started in Ashland, burned through Talent and Phoenix and into Medford, responsible at first estimate for the destruction of 600 homes and 100 businesses all across the state of Oregon. Figures range a bit. I'm going to go with the lower figure. The governor says 80,000 Oregonians have evacuated so far, with evacuations ongoing. I noticed that yesterday afternoon, the whole community of Butte Falls was told to bug out in the face of the South Oban Chain fire. We'll spend this hour and the next updating what we can find out about the fires themselves, but also sharing information about ways in which people can help each other. The needs are obviously great right now, but so are the hearts of people who are willing to help those, and their means as well. So if you can help out, then or you have a question, want to share some information, just talk about the fires. If you've been back into the neighborhoods, which are pretty horrific looking, join us. The phone number is 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And we have Terry Stewart on the line from Ashland CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, talking about Rogue Valley Recovers, which is the Rogue Valley Preparedness and Recovery Hub, to be found at roguevalley.recovers.org. We'll put links to all this up on the website once the show has wrapped up today. And so, Terry, it's fairly simple here. I see buttons for I have a need, I want to give, I want to volunteer. It's pretty straightforward.
It really is. And it's a great one-stop shop, again, for folks who are looking for any of those services or have something to give.
Yeah, and I noticed that it's sort of like a bulletin board, really. So people saying, you know, you can give to the United Way of Jackson County at First Interstate Bank. RVTD is listing what's going on here, including the fact that there's a special emergency service between Medford and Ashland available through tomorrow. Travels from Medford from exit 27 to Ashland using exit 19, traveling south through Ashland serving limited stops. And this is to replace the usual number 10 bus on the RVTD system, because that is not running at the moment. So all kinds of information available there. And Terry, so recovers.org, it looks like it's present in lots of communities. This is just a Rogue Valley version of it?
That's accurate. That's correct. And I believe it actually sort of came out of fires, so out of wildfire activity. And so folks are really utilizing this around the western part of the states primarily.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about that or the activities of CERT, since this certainly is an emergency going on right now?
That's correct. So our volunteers definitely help perform the damage assessment to our Ashland Quiet Village area so that residents could return to their homes late Tuesday evening. And they have been helping out at the Jackson County Call Center. There's a call bank set up there for folks who want more information, and they can call into the number, and there's a kind of a list of Q&As that we have there. And so if you have specific questions, we already have a sort of scripted answer for you. Mm-hmm. And if folks want to call into the Jackson County Citizen Hotline, that number is 541-776-7338.
541-776-7338.
That's correct.
For the Jackson County Call Center, just for questions about what to do about their current situation.
Right. They have updated evacuation information, and also just a friendly ear for residents. They can probably provide more extensive information, but we do refer folks back to the Rogue Valley Recovers Hub, and there's also always that 211 hotline. So 211 is a great resource for information as well.
Okay, so that works any cell phone service?
It does. That's accurate.
Okay, Terry Stewart from Ashland CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange and letting us know about a couple of options for people looking for help, or in the case of Rogue Valley Recovers, looking for places to give help.
Thanks, Jeffrey, and thanks for providing this information for folks.
Sure. Good to have you on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation about what's going on around the region, about fires, fire recovery. Join us by that phone number or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Another call here from Melody in Phoenix. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. We're back in our house, and we have a freezer full of food.
Which is so not being frozen like right now because of the electricity?
We don't have electricity. We have gas and water.
All right. Let me get you a number for Access in Jackson County, because they usually have facilities for being able to store food. And let's see, 541-779-6691.
6691.
Yeah.
Okay, 541-779-6691.
Yes. Yeah, so that's Access. And if you get a busy signal or something, you might also try the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. They called us yesterday. You still got a piece of something to write on there?
I'm sorry. I want to donate food. Is this the correct number?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to help you with. Yeah, because they'll be able to figure out where to take your stuff.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So you got the Access number?
I do have the Access number. And there's a second thing, and this is, all right, a gigantic tree has fallen over our fence.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into several backyards. I don't know eventually. I mean, we're cutting the parts we can reach, but is there any kind of information about what to do with things like this? I mean, if it stays for any length of time, it's going to dry up and cause a huge pile.
Right. That's an interesting one. Are you in Phoenix city limits?
Yes, we are.
Why don't you try Phoenix Public Works? Yeah, that'd be a good place to start, and they would at least know where to send you. So let me see if I can get that number for you too.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I don't want to keep you on the line. Many people are calling in, I'm sure. So thank you very much.
All right. I have a number for you. Let's see. Phoenix Public Works. Yeah.
Oh, great.
541-535-2226.
2226. That's great. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you for calling. Good to have you on, Melody. And let's go on to get a fire update here. We have Damon Simmons on the line, who has information about the Holiday Farm fire, which is burning in the eastern end of Lane County, and is very large. Damon, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. So our fire currently is at 156,000 acres, and it is, we've had a, as our operations people describe it, a good night last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't lose any new structures overnight. We have had favorable weather yesterday and coming into today. So our winds moderated a bit yesterday, and today we expect even more moderation. So we expect winds from anywhere from 3 to 5 miles per hour, which is ideal for firefighting. We're currently under an inversion layer, which means that lower down here in the valleys, we've got higher humidities, but higher up on the ridge tops, humidities are still low, so fire can still burn actively up there. As this inversion layer starts to lift today, we expect people to be able to see more of the fire plume, so that may be scary for people, but like I said, it's ideal conditions for us to be fighting a fire in.
This is a real plumey fire, it sounds like. Then you get the big pyrocumulus stacks sticking up.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see some of that today. Up till now, we've been just operating under a solid inversion layer, and so we should start to see that lift later on today, is my understanding. So, like I said, the big thing today for us is the really light winds that will be favorable for firefighters to use a lot of different tools to actually get some fire line around this fire, which is 0% contained at this point in time. So they're going to be using heavy machinery, bulldozers, those kinds of things to get some line in around this fire. They're going to be using firing operations. So they're going to use fire to fight fire. So they're going to remove fuel ahead of the fire. And they're going to be still doing point protection around homes, which means they're going to be just bumping that fire around houses where it moves into communities. So our hope is we can have another successful day, not lose any structures, and we can start to get some line around this fire.
All right. So I should point out that when you're doing burnout operations, using fire to fight fire, that also creates some smoke, and there's usually some level of awareness and discomfort with that, but that's what the procedure is. You mentioned trying to protect structures. What figures do you have, Damon, if any, on structures lost thus far? We heard there was a heavy toll in Vita, for one thing.
Yeah, that's not accurate. Vita is one of the communities that we are able to have a lot of success in. There are some structures lost in Vita. Blue River, however, was substantially destroyed, and we don't have exact counts at this point in time. We're still right in the middle of that active firefight, so we don't have structure counts right now. We initially, for the last few days have had around 200 firefighters on the fire that would normally have well over 1,000 people. And so we're starting to get more personnel in now, but initially personnel just weren't available because of the fires burning all around the region and the state and all along the entire West Coast. So that was kind of the difficulty that we faced. Now we're starting to be able to have more personnel come in, and that's a positive. And the weather is cooperating, which is also a positive. So starting to feel like we might be getting over the hump. I don't want to, you know, count my chickens before they're hatched, but I'm hoping that we can start to see some solid progress on this fire.
That is a massive fire. I'm looking at it on the State of Oregon Fires and Hotspots dashboard right now. You appear to have level 3 evacuation orders going almost down to the Springfield city limits. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually it's close to Springfield, but not down into Springfield. And the fire's still a ways away. So I don't want to worry the people in Springfield and Eugene. At this point in time, we're not level 3 in those areas. But If this fire makes any kind of a heavy push in that direction and we see the need, we'll definitely make those notifications happen early. The sheriffs and law enforcement have been working hand in hand with us to make sure that people are safe and that they have plenty of time to evacuate in the event that it's needed.
All right. Well, thanks for the update on the information. It's good to know that at least some of Vida survived, if Blue River apparently not a lot of it did.
Yeah, we're doing our best here, and we'll be here as long as we're needed. So we're going to keep up the work.
Okay, Damon Simmons, Public Information Officer for the Holiday Farm Fire burning in the McKenzie River Country. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Okay, good to have you. Let's check in now with the Ashland School District. Lori is on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you.
So what's the situation with Ashland Schools at this point?
Well, school is, you know, as you probably already know, it's canceled through this week. We have made the decision to cancel through Tuesday next week as well, while we're, you know, really sort of reassessing where we're at. We still have, we have about a dozen staff members who lost their homes in the fires, and many who live in the Phoenix, Talent, South Medford areas who are currently evacuated from their homes. So. Mm-hmm. We really need to get some stabilization for those folks, in addition to, you know, many of our students live at least part-time in Phoenix Talent area, and so they're also been impacted. It's great that we have internet this morning here in Ashland, but we still have a lot of families who are really impacted. So we've been spending this week trying to see what we can do to help support all of those families, both our, you know, students' families and our staff families. And we have a page on our website specifically for wildlife emergency relief. Mm-hmm. Ashland Schools Foundation is raising funds to support students and staff members. People can text 72572 to make a donation, and you can also reach out to the school district, reach out to Christine McCollum if you would like to some assistance. If you're at Ashland, if you're a student in Ashland Schools or are a staff member.
All right, so that's the number to text to, you're saying, is 72572?
That's right.
Okay. And then I'm sorry, yeah. I cut you in the middle of a sentence there.
That's okay. Christine McCollum, and you can email her. The easiest thing would just be to email the school district directly, mm-hmm. and that's just ashlandschools@ashland.k12.or.us. And email us, and we will get you connected with the Ashland Schools Foundation.
Okay, so text 72572 or email ashlandschools@ashland.k12.or.us.
That's right.
Okay, another link going up on the website. We're going to keep busy with website stuff today for sure. Lori, thank you so much. And you jogged my memory because I'm out of my own neighborhood at the moment. I realize there are at least two people who work in the Ashland School District right in my neighborhood in Talent. So, so yes. Lots of folks scattered throughout the areas that got burned.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the update. Very much appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We're just sharing fire information, getting some of the hard facts from the fire scenes, and also getting some information about what people need and what they have to give to people in need. And you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Kyle Reed, who has information about the Archie Creek fire burning in far eastern Douglas County. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let me take a look at the situation here. Looks like, well, that's a good size fire. Archie Creek is, wow, 108,000 acres or roughly?
Yeah. So that fire actually started as two different fires.
Mm-hmm.
We had three fires in the area when those started. We got around the first one that was about a mile northwest of Glide at about 500 acres. That was the French Creek fire, and that one was still holding and taking, not doing anything. The other two fires was the Star Mountain fire and the Archie Creek fire, which merged together very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's now known as just the Archie Creek fire. 107,492 acres at 0% contained as of this morning.
And we heard from the folks just a little bit north of you at the Holiday Farm fire that they had a good night with low winds and decent humidity. Did you have the same situation at Archie Creek last night?
We did. Yesterday, overall, weather kind of shifted for us and was in our favor. It stayed that way overnight. And so far today, it's looking like weather is going to kind of be in our favor. Next couple of days, we're expecting more of a westerly flow, which is pretty much the exact opposite from what we had with those east winds. So we're expecting with that, you know, increased humidities, which will definitely help our firefighting abilities on this fire.
I see level three evacuations in Glide and Idlewild Park, and I can tell from the state map that it looks like things got really hot around Idlewild Park. Has there been some damage there?
There has. We're still trying to get into some of those areas to assess that. Highway 138 East is closed basically from Glide all the way through to Highway 97 now. And really at this point, a lot of that's still unpassable with trees and rocks and stuff that's come down into the road. So one of the big things today, ODOT's trying to get back in there to get at least one lane of that road open back up for fire traffic to get back in there to start doing what we need to do and evaluate some of those structures to get a better idea what the damage was in those areas.
All right. So some damage, just unknown how extensive at this point.
Yeah, exactly. We've had some unconfirmed reports from fire crews back on the line of some structures that were lost. I do know that DFPA, Douglas Forest Protective Association, who has the initial attack fire responsibility in the area, we had a lookout in the area that was burned in the fire and a guard station in the Rock Creek area that we lost in the fire. But beyond that, I'm not sure of the total damage.
Now, for the folks who have evacuated from the likes of Idlewild Park and Glide and Dixonville, where have they gone? What's the evacuation center for them?
So there's a Red Cross center set up here at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, and the fairgrounds has been very gracious to open that up so that people can come down with trailers if they have those. Those who need more shelter than that, they have a building opened up where people can go in with COVID restrictions in place and with the distancing and get out of the elements.
Okay. All right. So here again, county fairgrounds getting good use, even if they didn't have county fairs this year. So the evacuation center for this is all Archie Creek fire, right? The Star Mountain name is not even used anymore?
Correct. Yeah. So once they merged, those two fires became one and they went with the Archie Creek fire name.
And, you know, I need to ask you while you're here, Kyle, do you have any information about the Thielson fire further out?
So I do not. No, that's being managed by a different team, and that's on the Umpqua National Forest. So okay. I don't have any information on that fire.
Okay. But Archie Creek is a big, ugly one, too. And this is the thing, is we got so many fires that are burning so many places right now, it's hard to keep track of how many are out there. And this is a really big fire if it were by itself, but there's so many other fires around, it's hard to keep track of this. 108,000 acres, again, and 0% contained?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. One of the big things that we were running into, and it sounds like, you know, the little bit I've been able to check up on other fires, we're all kind of in the same boat, is trying to find available resources.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost up to about 200 people on this fire, but we need a lot more. We're relying heavily on equipment on the ground with bulldozers and mm-hmm. skidders and tiller benchers and all that kind of stuff to punch in some both direct and indirect line really along the western edge of that fire. Near the homes and the communities to try and get that buttoned up, taking advantage of these conditions that we've been given the last day or so. But we're eventually going to need boots on the ground to secure this get it mopped up and make sure it doesn't continue moving from there.
Okay, that's the update on the Archie Creek fire burning in eastern Douglas County around Glide and Idlewild Park. Thanks to Kyle Reed for giving us the update on that. Good to have you on the exchange. Nick Henneman at the 242 fire. I don't have much time for you. I'm sorry I talked a little long, but what's the status of what's going on there?
Good morning, Jeffrey. This is Nick Henneman, and the update here is the fire is about 12,640 acres, so haven't seen a lot of growth over the last 24 hours. Still at 5% containment. There'll be a virtual public meeting tonight at the on the Facebook page for the fire, 242 fire Facebook page. And yesterday, over 200 homes were opened up because the evacuation levels for Rainbow Park and Woodland Park communities were lifted. So that was some good news for those folks getting back into their homes. And there's a new evacuation level one for the northwest part of the fire. And that is, again, a level one. So be ready because I saw some more fire activity up there. Today we'll have crews working up on that part of the fire to try to get line around it and work on containment on that side.
All right, so the public meeting tonight?
That'll be 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no in-person component of that. That's just Facebook only?
Correct.
All right, it's interesting watching how we're dealing with the pandemic stuff. People can what now?
People can ask questions on the feed as they watch the meeting. If people just limit it to questions instead of comments, that would be helpful to make sure people are getting the information they need. Okay. One other important part for today is that Highway 97 is open.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Open to traffic.
Highway 97 open. A good detail to add. All right. Thank you once again, Nick Henneman, the PIO from the Public Information Office from the 242 fire. 97 open, 200 homes, people allowed back in yesterday. Nick, good to hear from you. Good to hear that things are looking up a little bit.
Yes, thank you, Jeffrey.
All right, take it easy. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR, and we are going into a second hour of this. We have a couple people who have sent in emails already that I haven't gotten any of those emails yet, but much more to talk about here in the second hour of the Jefferson Exchange coming up. From Jefferson Public Radio at Southern Oregon University, this is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Coming up after the news, once again, it's all about fires in the region. We're into day four of the wind-driven wildfire outbreak with some hard numbers emerging about people and places affected by the fires. In the Rogue Valley, the Almeda Drive fire is blamed for the destruction of 600 homes and 100 businesses. And that's not the only fire in the region. Far from it. Few parts of Oregon are exempt from wildfire activity, and a statewide emergency declaration is in effect. And that's just Oregon. California, bigger in people and land, is also struggling. We'll continue to do what we have been doing, running down the information about fires and figures and opening the phone lines for news from you about what's been happening, what people need, and what people have to give to those in need. News of fires and responses and your phone calls and emails ahead after the news.